From the Farm Credit Studios, this is On the Farm Radio. Rural and agricultural news coming up next.
Your land is your legacy. But keeping your woods thriving, healthy, and properly managed is no small task. The Family Forest Carbon Program can help you care for your land now and into the future. We provide guaranteed annual income, help developing a forest management plan, and advice from forest professionals. By participating in the Family Forest Carbon Program, you'll be improving your own wooded lands, ensuring they're maintained and healthy for future generations, while supporting your community and helping make an impact for the planet. If you own 30 acres or more of forest land, you may be eligible to enroll in the Family Forest Carbon Program. Visit familyforestcarbon.org to learn more and enroll today. The Family Forest Carbon Program was developed by the American Forest Foundation and the Nature Conservancy.
You're listening to On the Farm Radio with Jeff Ishii.
Beef cattle producers in the eastern United States have had a pretty good couple of years over the past 2 years, at least in 2024, 2025, and so far in 2026. That's according to Brandon Reeves. I recently talked with Brandon. He is with the Virginia Cattlemen's Association, and I wanted to share with you a portion of that conversation where we talked about the positive markets we've seen over the past couple of years for beef cattle producers.
Yeah, it's been a really crazy run that we've been on. These prices are great, especially for our cow-calf producers that are selling those cattle at weaning. I get a little bit nervous for the guys who are buying them and then, you know, having to carry that risk and sell them. But the market's been really strong, and we'll see. But it's been volatile as well.
You know, about a year ago, I remember distinctly talking, probably at the Beef Expo, with some cattle producers from all across the Commonwealth of Virginia, across the region, and I kept hearing one phrase pop up: bubble. It's going to be a bubble. It has not been a bubble, has it?
It has not, no. I mean, everything's kind of lined up just, you know, where we're at in the herd cycle, with the national numbers being where they're at, the Mexico border being closed, beef demand's at, you know, record highs, which is great and really helps things. But, yeah, it's been kind of all the stars have aligned to have a really high market.
One final question. Once again, we're talking with Brandon Rees with the Virginia Cattlemen's Association. Brandon, we briefly discussed cattle markets, what the farmers are seeing, the livestock producers, but I'd like to talk with you just for a moment about what consumers are seeing. The U.S. Department of Agriculture recently published a report, Consumer Price Index on Foods. That report indicated that beef, or retail beef, has gone up 14% since February of 2025. That's quite a jump. But the catch in that report is they're expecting another 10% increase this year. That's almost a 25% increase over a two-year period. What's your take on that?
I think people love beef. That would be my take. I mean, I think that we've got a superior product that is just chock full. You know, we have the new dietary guidelines come out, very supportive of, you know, protein and all the things that beef has in it. And so we're really excited to see those changes. And I think that, you know, consumers are recognizing the bang for their buck that they're getting with beef. I think certainly, you know, it's reflective of our supply situation at the moment as well. There's no doubt that kind of factors into it. But when you think about it, and when I think about it and wear my farmer hat, you know, the amount of inflation and the amount our input costs have increased as farmers and ranchers, I would say probably far exceeds what consumers might be seeing as far as increased prices in the grocery store. And so I think that, you know, we're going to continue to producing it. And I think that sends us a signal that consumers, if they're willing to pay more for it, just means that we've got a great product and we're going to keep trying to produce more of it.
And that was just a brief portion of my recent conversation with Brandon Reeves. He is with the Virginia Cattlemen's Association as we discuss cattle markets and retail beef prices. Well, today we have a special report from the U.S. Department of Agriculture on a farm safety net.
From producers. And Agriculture Undersecretary for Farm Production and Conservation Richard Fordyce has been providing answers regarding some of the farm safety net components within the One Big Beautiful Bill Act. He starts with the addition of 30 million acres to base acres used to calculate rates for agricultural risk coverage and price loss coverage. The base acres are not questioned, but some producers wonder how those acres will be dispersed.
Now we are able to equally disperse those acres across the country. It's not going to be on a first-come, first-served basis. If we find a situation where there is going to be more than 30 million base acres, then we will just simply prorate those across the country. So no need to worry. No need to think, gosh, I'm going to have to be the first one in the office to stake my claim on those base acres.
And once redistribution by the Farm Service Agency concludes,
then producers will have an opportunity to make their elections in ARC and PLC.
Yet the undersecretary acknowledges for this year,
producers will likely not be making their elections until that crop is probably pretty well along. In some cases, it might be even harvest.
So sometime after base acre redistribution is complete, expected to be in late summer or early fall. Undersecretary Fordyce acknowledges,
this is not a traditional timeline, but this is kind of how it has to work for the 2026 crop because of that base acre work.
Another question, what do changes in qualified entity pass-through provisions for payment limitations mean for qualifying entities? First, the definition of qualified entities.
Partnerships, S corporations, LLCs, joint ventures, and general partnerships.
Past law had only general partnerships receiving no payment limitations. Under the OBBBA, the other entities mentioned now are treated the same as general partnerships based on its corporate structure. Farm Service Agency is continuing work to implement provisions. So with a June 1st deadline for entity changes of farms,
we're going to waive that June 1st rule and give folks an opportunity to properly align their business entities so that they can take advantage for the 2026 crop year.
I'm Rod Bain reporting for the U.S. Department of Agriculture in Washington, D.C.
Stay tuned. Your daily pearl of wisdom is coming up next.
As a farmer, you have a lot to think about. There are bills to pay, repairs, and a possible schedule. It's no wonder that sometimes you can forget to do the small, simple things, like being extra careful when approaching a railroad crossing. Trailers, tractors, and other farm equipment are noisy and slow-moving, while an approaching train may be closer and moving faster than you think. Don't take a chance. Whenever you approach a railroad crossing, slow down, be prepared to stop, and remember, look, listen, and live. A safety message from Operation Lifesaver.
More rural and agricultural news at our website, onthefarmradio.com. That's onthefarmradio.com. Our pearl of wisdom today comes from listener Dave Mowbray in Mount Sydney, Virginia. Dave says that the only thing you cannot recycle is lost time. Thank you, Dave, for that pearl of wisdom. You're on the farm, and I'm here.